On this episode, I interview Kendra Lopez, also known as Just Kendra Lopez on Instagram. Kendra is a road and ultra runner with over 10 years of running experience. During this time, she has ran 26 marathons, 350Ks, 150-miler, and currently training for her first 100K. She is a community leader and founder of Fresno Art Run. On this episode, we talk about why she runs, how running has impacted her life, her trail running journey, running ultras, finding the right running shoes, and creating her running group, Fresno Art Run. Welcome to the She Runs Trails podcast. I am your host, Element Sudaisy. I am an ultra runner and endurance mindset coach. If you're new here, hello there. In this podcast, I interview other female trail runners in hopes to educate, empower, and inspire more women to run on the trails. If you're a returning listener and have been enjoying the podcast, it would really mean a lot to me if you can rate and leave a review in whichever platform you're listening to this episode. If you would like to support the podcast and help it keep it ad-free, please consider donating as low as a dollar to the podcast. You can donate through the Anchor account. The link is in the show notes. This will really help me. Thank you so much for your support. Let's get into the show. Before we get into the show, I just want to apologize for the audio quality on my end. My questions are a little staticky. However, Kendra's responses are nice and clear. I hope this doesn't interrupt the show too much and you're still able to get a good amount of value from this episode because Kendra provides so much knowledge, so much information. So I just want to apologize on my end for the mic issues.
Hey, Kendra, welcome to the podcast.
Hi. So this is actually my first Instagram live. So well. So I guess what really gets me out the door is just the idea that for me, it's that space that I have for myself, right? That no matter how long I'm out on a run, my thoughts and just what I'm going through, what I'm seeing out on a run will never be taken away from me. It's kind of that idea of it's my time and just making the time for that, right? So.
And what has your life changed or how has it differed since you've made that time for yourself out on the road or on the trails?
Definitely, I would say that running kind of has been parallel to my personal life. Just the way I grew up kind of on the run in terms of just like life traumas and just like moving around so much. I always was just kind of like running from something, right? And it's been a good constant now, like in my adult life, that I'm like, I can use running so much more to help just add consistency to my life, right? Instead of running from something, I'm running for myself, so.
I feel that habits of running has influenced other habits in your life, like, because I know it influenced your life, but other positive habits that you adapted that you're like, oh, running has showed me this, so now I do this. Is there anything else that you do that has aligned with kind of your running journey?
I would definitely say patience. I've learned so much about patience. You know, you have to always, no matter how much you've been running, you have to go back to basics, right? And you have to kind of be in that seat to remind yourself, hey, I remember when I just started running, I couldn't run a mile. I remember when I was running a lot and I stopped and I couldn't run as much as I used to. I remember when I was falling out of love with running and I just needed a break. I remember when it was just too overwhelming and I, you know, was in a different space. So just the patience to continue to have the run there for myself and know that regardless of where I'm at in life, it's such a constant and it's a good constant to just like believe in patience that, you know, it's really my run. So
it's been good. So falling out of love with running? What do you think was causing that, or what, or how many years in were you into running when that happened?
I would say, you know, I started running in 2012 when I moved, really running, when I moved to Los Angeles. I was 22 years old. I went to fashion school and I didn't drive, but I definitely walked and I took the bus and the train. So I wanted to become more familiar with downtown LA. So I found, I was looking online and I didn't have any friends, like really in the fashion school. And I found meetup.com. So back on the desktop in 2011, I joined Meetup and I went to my first run. And then from there, that kind of got me into being exposed, right? Because I didn't grow up athletic. You know, I played a little bit of softball, a little bit of basketball, but I was on the bench. I was definitely not in a running kind of, you know, I wasn't, it just wasn't my normal. So just being exposed to that really opened my eyes. And I started to be around people who ran a lot. And, you know, I signed up for my first half marathon and my first full marathon. And then I was running a lot. And then there came a point where I was involved. I was involved as, you know, leading groups. And I really seen a lot of different sides of running, right? To be able to work on your fast, to work on almost BQing, and just to see the running community and just some of my friends like really work hard for these goals and then just kind of like get really depressed or really like down, you know? And for myself, I just, running was such a good thing for me that I never wanted it to feel like it was going to take me down, right? I've never wore a runner's watch and I still don't wear a running watch. I have, you know, tracking on my Strava on my phone, but I tell people that I've always loved to just like run with how I feel and my heart. So, you know, as I was like going through my personal life and trying to hold on to running, it just wasn't making sense anymore. So I had to take a step back and ask myself, well, what's going on? You know, I think my social life took a lot of, you know, my personal happiness for running. I had got really depressed with kind of corporate America. And I, you know, went through phases of like, just really silent. And I didn't know what was going on with myself. And I just, I wasn't doing the things that I enjoyed. And when I tell people that, you know, it was hard for me to believe in depression because I was always like, oh, you know, just what a smile. But then when you go through it and, you know, maybe it's like all of these little small episodes, then you're like, oh, maybe I do need to listen to that voice, right? Maybe I do need to like slow my life down and kind of just like regather and go back to basics. So that's just kind of like the in and outs of like when you are dealing with mental illness, you lose that passion for it. So yeah,
I'm really surprised you just say you don't run with the watch, but I think it's, you know, it's awesome because I feel like we can get too caught up with the data.
Yeah.
That really could mess us up mentally, like yeah. Women, I feel that, you know, with our hormones, there's going to be weeks where we're not going to perform our best. And it's not because we're losing progress or it's just because our hormones are taking place. And naturally, biology is going to make us slow down and perform less. And we're going to feel like crap, right?
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Like, I think it's time that I, like, invest and go that route because it has been on my mind, especially just for, like, you know, like, what potential can I push with this technology? I just don't ever want it to be such a thing that is getting in my way.
Yeah, I heard someone like people were like, "Oh, I just turned off and I just put it in my sleep. Don't look at it. It's just a crap."
Yeah.
Constantly looking at your watch, you can start playing games with you. And like Nina said, that she's the same way. Run with your heart. Yes, run with your heart.
Yeah.
How did you reintroduce running for yourself once you decided to step back? Like, what was, how did you like, okay, let me make running fun again and exciting and something positive. Like, how did you reintroduce running back into your life?
I would definitely say in 2018, I really like hit, you know, a couple of rock bottoms in my life. And I was running here and there. It wasn't like I was like completely out of it, but I definitely let myself just kind of let life happen. And I decided to take care of myself. And I was like, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to move back home, which is Fresno. And I came back home and I was like, I like to run in the city. Like, that's just what we do in LA. And I didn't see a lot of people running on the east side, especially where I'm from. And, you know, I had put on quite a bit of weight, just kind of my lifestyle. I was just like living on the edge. And again, when the pandemic hit, I made the conscious choice in 2019. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give alcohol a break, right? Because running and alcohol and just running in my social life and running since I was our, like, alcohol and since I was like 18, college has always been a part of my life, right? So when I moved back in 2019, you know, and the pandemic hit, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna give it a break. And it's been over 2.5 years. And with that, I, you know, just started again, back to basics. I started to go back to what I knew was a consistent and a good thing in my life, and it was running. So I was struggling, but you know, I just worked on the 2 miles and then the 5K. And in 2020, it was going to be marathon number 20, and I wasn't going to let the pandemic take it away. So I ran my own marathon all through Fresno, and I fundraised for a domestic violence shelter here in the Valley that I actually stayed at when I was a little girl. So just kind of finding that joy and like, this is where I'm at, this is my home, and how can I, you know, maybe not everyone kind of knows, I don't have that many friends, you know, when I just moved back, but I was like, this is important for myself. So that encouraged me to create a running group and bring together people from all different backgrounds and to say, hey, yes, we can run in these areas that are not as common. And I can add to the conversation because, you know, I just think everyone needs a space. And we all have our different groups, which is great, but to just add to the conversation. So, yeah.
That's truly, you've touched so many things, and I want to like touch a little, a few of the things you touched about, the many other things. The one thing is alcohol. How, removing alcohol, how did you notice your life changing the minute that you removed alcohol from your life?
You know, this has been the longest time I have ever given myself since I was like, you know, 18. Like, I lived a really fast, you know, life. And it took, first of all, like, it's good when it's in moderation and, you know, but when you're just kind of low and you're already not in the right space and you kind of have those like moments and the episodes, you know, it just, the clarity that I have now and just kind of the confidence to be like, I'm not putting myself in a corner to label myself this or that. I'm here to share my story and to let other people know that if you find other ways to cope with feeling low, you know, there's healthier options, right? And for me, it's running. You know, as happy as I am, it took me a lot to kind of, and I'm still learning this new normal, right? Because usually it's like we run a race and then we're like, oh, let's go numb our body and be buzzed. But then in reality, I was like, I can't believe we were running really fast. And then we would just go to the beer garden. And like, I've had a lot of fun in life, but I'm also like, I cannot do that to my body. My body has done so much for me, and it is continuously showing me that, you know, to wake up to, like, you know, the digestive system, just like the clarity of, like, I'm not going to go out the night before and wear like a wedge or a high heel and then go try to run 18 miles because I wanted to go like dance the night away. So it's just little things that kind of I have found eliminating it has really just been such a blessing. So
that's amazing. That's truly, it's amazing how like something so small yet so big by just eliminating this one thing can influence your life all around and how you start looking at your body and something like alcohol.
Yeah.
And this person, it's with running, I feel like we've normalized kind of essentially like celebrate with the beer, like, you know, you just the beer garden. It's almost expected to have beer gardens at races. And it's kind of like, if you're not a drinker, you're kind of like, wait, am I supposed to be a drinker? Am I supposed to get drink an alcohol that I really don't want to drink, but everyone else is drinking, so I'm just going to take it. So it's, I want to applaud you and, you know, congratulate you for that, making that change, because I'm sure it wasn't easy in the beginning. I'm sure still there's probably times where, you know, you get triggered in certain ways. So it's one, I do want to applaud you for that. The next thing you mentioned was running your marathon on your own and the fundraising. So what was the process? If someone's interested in doing something similar where they're like, you know what, I want to fundraise for a cause and I want to do my own run. How did you go about kind of creating that for you to help get fundraised in case anyone else is interested in doing something similar like you did?
Yeah, so I actually kind of went the wrong avenue. Well, my attempt was sincere. So, you know, obviously COVID, I reached out to the nonprofit and I wasn't really hearing any feedback. But I'm so happy for my community who really helped just donate. So I was just like, I picked a day. I was like, this is the cause. I made it my own route. I literally ran all the way through Fresno and, you know, all the, you know, from one part of town to the north side and back. And what it really showed me was like, wow, like, you know, you can make up your own route. And, you know, it's just so much more meaningful for me because I went through all these little pockets of town that, unfortunately, a lot of people don't really run through in one stretch. So that alone was like making the route, definitely sharing it just kind of on social media with my friends. I'm so happy that I definitely had like family kind of in a car. But yeah, I ran that solo. And then after, you know, I kind of like gathered the money. I actually had did it through a GoFundMe, which kind of was a hassle because then, you know, you kind of have to make sure that it's sent. And from there, you know, months later, I actually did the due diligence. Hey, did you get the check? And they got the check. But definitely like coordinating with the nonprofit so that they could help and really know what you're doing, you know, because you're doing something incredible. Whether they give you a, hey, thank you for doing this or not, you're doing something along with your community who's supporting you. So,
and then the other thing you talked about was starting your own running group. So we're in the pandemic, it's 2020. I think a lot of you did the opposite of what most people, most people's running groups stopped. So they're already like, no, we're not meeting. And you're like, create a running group.
Yeah.
So talk about us. Like, how did you go about creating Fresno Art Run?
So I, when I moved back, I was definitely looking, you know, kind of getting the scope of the run group scene here. And I'm so blessed that I was able to, kind of join a couple running groups. One definitely dear to, my heart is called 9372 Run Group, which kind of is on, a break right now, but kind of just networking and meeting other runners. There is a local kind of walking neighborhood that I grew up around, and I was like, you know what, I want to show that from Huntington Boulevard, we can move into downtown and go other places, right? And my joy of art and just like running and, you know, seeing whether it's art or buildings or just different communities, that was kind of like, if anyone knows me, they know I love just visually anything beautiful on a run. So yeah, I created the Fresno Art Run. The goal is to run and see art in different pockets of town. So not only was it in different pockets of town, but I also took runs to smaller rural towns, and we did runs in like the neighboring towns to see the local art. And from that, it's just really just putting Fresno out there and kind of exposing the artists and the, you know, the beautiful art that we have that you can see by being active. So yeah, I'm happy to say that my fellow Art Run just pals and gals are now signed up for their first full marathons, half marathons, pushing the ultra marathon distance. We're planning to all go to LA. So one big thing I'm really thrilled about is I am the first, I guess, LA marathon ambassador. And the idea behind that is to get people to kind of be open to running bigger races and, you know, being in different communities and environments and saying like, hey, I can be there too, right? There's nothing more than like experiencing a big high energy race. And since LA has my heart, I'm just so happy that I'm here to, you know, just let the Valley know and friends that we also can show up to these big races. So
what would you want to tell that person that's on edge of running? They haven't ran a marathon before. You know, they say only 1% of Americans have ran a marathon. Like, what will you tell if you right now you have someone who's like, you know what, LA marathon, maybe? What do you want to tell them if they're on the fence of signing up for the LA marathon or any marathon? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, signing up is the first step, right? And showing up, we all show up differently. You know, you can put in all the training in the world and, you know, something, you know, unfortunate happens, like an injury, right? I always just tell people that your body is allowing you to do something so incredible. So just kind of take that moment in wherever you are in your pace, kind of in your journey of training. And if you can just envision yourself there and, you know, realistically, like, my body can do a 5K and then a 10K and then, hey, a couple of long runs. Until you actually close your eyes and say, I'm going to do this, you know, and then show up, you've already won because you're there. The rest is just your first experience, right? And to always just have fun, whether it's your local race, you're going on an adventure, just be very, very proud that you're able to just, you know, dedicate that time and your body is saying yes. It may hurt, but what your body is so much, so much more incredible.
How will you tell someone prepare for a marathon? Do you like to join a club, running group? Or yeah. What if someone's like, I haven't even ran mile in my life, like.
Well, I love when I say back to basics, right? So you have to, number one, because I work at a Fleet Feet, so I've been experiencing not just the runners, but the walkers and the, you know, the people who work at the hospital. Number one is set yourself up for success. You need a good pair of running shoes. Now, it doesn't need to be top shelf, $250 pair, but as you're starting to really put your, you know, miles on your feet, you just really need to feel comfortable. You don't have to suffer by being in the wrong shoe. And I think that's something that we tend to forget, is because we're given a pair of shoe and we're like, oh, I'm always a size 8. I found this at Costco, you know, or I found this like on sale. And we all have those like shoes that we started off running and now we're like, oh gosh, if only if I knew you know, what my feet were telling me, like, do I pronate? How's my arches? So just kind of be prepared to like really invest in that. And then just lay out your plan, right? I don't typically stick to a training plan because my life has just been all over the place lately. But if you can write it down and visualize, you know, and know that if you're somewhere in between hitting these miles, you know, whether it's a long run, your shorter distance, that you're going to be okay. Don't ever feel like all of the work that you put in has been taken away because you got sick or you missed a couple. That's not how it works. You have put in so much work, so don't just throw away everything else. And again, just you kind of organize and, you know, find running groups. I definitely, again, I didn't find out about marathons, let alone like pushing more than 3 miles, if it wasn't being surrounded by people who were doing it, right? And then I would look at these people like, wow, I can't believe they're doing this, right? And then it's like, I signed up because it's like, why not me? You know, I can do this too. So just kind of like having that confidence to say like, I can do it too.
What's a common mistake you see a lot of runners when they go, you know, you work at a running store, looking for the first pair of shoes, or you wish more runners knew when going into find their first pair of, you know, running shoes? What advice would you give to them?
I would definitely listen to your body. Listen to your body. Your shoes are there to take care of you because you're always on your feet, right? I know that there's so many different styles of shoes, and just because one person likes this doesn't mean that it's going to like automatically fit your feet, right? And then just kind of with that, listening to your body, don't wait till it's too late to kind of like troubleshoot pains before races, because then it's like you don't want to injure yourself and you've put in all this work. But it's also important to update your shoes, right? You know, we think like, oh, shoes are expensive. They're so expensive. So like if you're putting a good 300 miles and you're also walking in them on the weekends, like you don't need to be slipping through the floor. You know, you kind of need to consider like, maybe I do need a second shoe that I can have in rotation. Those are just kind of things that I kind of hope to paint the picture with people. And when we talk about feet, we all have our different ways of explaining what's going on. And believe me, when I started working at the running store, I was like, I have been doing this wrong this whole entire time, right? So then I started questioning myself because I was like, this is all of this technology and all of this, you know, I felt like I almost like didn't belong because I was like, this is, you know, it can be overwhelming if you don't know things down to the science. And I still don't know. But, you know, I'm here and I'm trying and I'm just sharing, you know, my insights. So it's been eye opening.
Jessica Loso said, first mistake is going based on looks. So yeah, don't go based on looks, go based on feel.
Yeah.
Andra, you ran ultras and not just marathons, which, you know, you ran, what, 26 marathons now. How did you get into the ultra scene? Like, how did you, you know, transition? I know you do both now, but, like, what got you into ultra running?
You know, it's really interesting because I don't really, I guess I've always considered myself a marathoner, but now I'm like, no, Kendra, you're an ultra marathoner. And it sounds a little crazy because it's like, I still like have that kind of imposter syndrome thing where it's like, I don't know. But I guess, again, just being exposed to, you know, training in LA and we are running trails and then like, hey, this is a 50K. So my first, I kind of looked back, my first ultra was Leona Divide. And I ran with a fellow Nutribullet gal, and we kind of did that together, so that was wonderful. And then in 2018 was when I really kind of like was like, whoa. Or it wasn't 2018, maybe it was like 20 2017. I was like, I'm going to run an ultra marathon in Fresno, you know? So I came back home. I ran the San Joaquin River 50K. I drove my happy little self all by myself up to the start line. I had no ultra marathoner friends, let alone marathon friends here in Fresno. And I was like, wow, you know? So like, I felt like an outsider, but then I was like, oh, these people are so nice, you know? So that kind of like had given me that confidence. And I had never been on that trail, the San Joaquin River Trail, in my life, even though it was like right in my backyard. But I'm so happy that I had that courage to be like, I'm going to do this. And then, you know, I hadn't ran ultras since 2017. And then last year, I had the opportunity through Brooks Running to kind of put my name in a draw to do the JFK 50 miler. And, you know, I pulled this race out of, you know, nowhere, basically. And I was like, when am I ever going to be on the Appalachian Trail? That honestly, like, sold the race for me. And I was like, well, I've been hiking. I hike Mount Whitney every year. You know, I'm feeling better about myself. Like, I feel healthy. I felt comfortable after running, you know, a marathon last year, just a couple of races. Why not? Why not take, you know, my hiking, my marathon running, and kind of just see if I can push the 50 miles. And let me tell you, when I got to the race, again, a whole new environment in Maryland, it was different. It was definitely eye-opening and, you know, just kind of like, just feeling like an outsider, but not really like, no, Kendra, you're here. You can do this. You really don't know what to expect. But my biggest thing was that I got sick. So I started my period on the trail. And, you know, I was just so fatigued and so like worried about the next stop. Like, can I get a tampon somewhere? You know, and people are usually like, well, shouldn't you know? No, when it hits you, it hits you. So my idea of my first 50 miler was trauma. I had no idea. I was like the cutoff times. I was barely hitting the cutoff time. And then, you know, I started to get off the Appalachian Trail and kind of getting in my flow literally. And just what my body did that day was amazing. So I'm just grateful that I had that experience.
What has helped you like pushing through cutoffs? That's never fun, right? Like, not only are you pushing through the pain of your body, you're pushing, it's you versus the clock, pretty much. It's not you versus anybody else. Like, yeah. What helped you kind of stay your head in the game and not just kind of throw the towel and like, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to make the cutoff. I got my period. Like, I feel like crap. Yeah. What has helped you kind of like keep your head on the game, essentially?
You know, like I had mentioned, like, I really didn't really have an idea of like these cutoffs, right? Because I'm like, eh, I'm just running, right? And then it's like, oh no, like you're like right there. So like once I got a lead, I was like, okay, I felt a little better, right? And again, that's why I say having a watch is definitely important because I know it'll come in handy. But just really telling myself that I've already come so far, so anything after the 31 miles that I had already hit was just extra. So that kind of like pushed me to be like, anything extra, Kendra, it's just bonus. You know, you're kind of here, you really don't kind of know what you're doing, but you're just showing up and you're just going with the flow and, you know, literally, and just like happy to be experiencing that. Really just like kept me grounded.
What did this 50 miler teach you, this race?
Oh, it taught me, it really taught me just how diverse like the community is. You know, pushing such a distance in another state with not like my local community, it was different. It really opened my eyes that you can definitely dream bigger, right? And I think that's why I'm just so excited about this 100K attempt, because it's like here in my backyard. So.
Yeah, and sometimes it's kind of like when you run a marathon, you're just like, oh my God, I don't feel like I could do one more mile. And then you run a 50K and you're just like, I don't feel like I could do one more mile or half a mile. And then you're a 50 miler and you're just like, this is it. But yeah, it's crazy how much, if we're willing to push our potential, how much we can push our potential, right? Like it's really, like you said earlier, it starts with believing in yourself.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
And then following with the work, putting in the work to continue on. We have a question here from Azucena. How many miles do you recommend one per week as part of their, oh, Mount Whitney training, for Mount Whitney training? So you've done Whitney almost, how many times have you done Whitney now?
I've done it 9 times.
Wow, I'm impressed.
She's my favorite, and people say, well, don't you want to go somewhere else? And I'm like, you have no idea, every single time. And it's not just because it's like Mount Whitney, but like, I think what really inspired me and just that confidence again is last year I did it by myself. And now it's like this past year I was able to go twice and like lead people now, right? Lead women who are like badasses and be like, yeah, I may not know all the proper language of the trails and whatnot, but I know enough to get a spy. And I think that's what, you know, when it comes to confidence, it's like we're often like scared because it's like, oh, but we're not talking like every, you know, trail runner. We don't look like every trail runner or marathoner. But you know what? Your experience shows so much more. And sometimes it's hard to like elaborate on things like, well, I think this and that when it comes to like trail words and running words and like feet, even like when we're selling shoes, right? But if you have some idea of it, that's all that matters. So when it comes to Mount Whitney, I definitely recommend hitting local trails, getting elevation, and really seeing how your body feels at these elevations, right? It's time on your feet. It's not a race. There is nothing more important than understanding how you feel, asking yourself questions. Am I lightheaded? Am I tired? Did I get enough sleep for this day hike? Am I gonna make it back on time? Are the clouds moving in? You know, what kind of socks am I wearing? Have I, you know, do I have enough food? Do I have enough water? It's just really kind of analyzing and just being ready for that. I experienced really bad thunderstorms the last time I went with my friend who came all the way from Thailand to hike it, and we had to turn around, and thank the energy above, we turned around just on time. We were a mile away from the summit, but had we not, rocks were already falling, you know, and the road was flush to get off of, you know, back into the town. So we were literally saved. And I'm just so happy that that idea of instinct and kind of knowing and being prepared was the smartest thing that really saved our life. So, yeah. And, you know, asking people all the questions about the things. Don't be shy. Like, people reach out to me and ask so many questions, whether it's about hiking, whether it's about running. I think that just being able to be a person that people can come to and say, hey, I'm new to town, or are there any run groups, or hey, I think it's just such a beautiful thing to just ask questions, you know.
Yeah, like right now she asked a question about training, and I would like to add, I've done Whitney twice.
Yeah.
And the first time I said I was never going to go back, the second time I said, okay, for sure, I'm never going to go back.
Yeah.
In anything, I would say, in anything you train for, look at how you're going to go about it. So, for example, Whitney, are you planning to do a day hike or backpacking? Because based on that, your training will look different. If you're planning to backpack, you're going to have to train with a big, heavy backpack. If you're planning to day hike it, you're going to on hiking faster, so you can do it within a day and work on your speed. So it really depends on the route you're planning to go. And even with ultra running, races, they're different than, you don't run, you don't train an ultra the same way you train a road marathon, even if it's just 5 miles more. It's a whole different setting and environment, right? You have mountains and technical terrain and weather can differ and aid stations, and you're a lot, almost twice as long out there.
And you're speed hiking, right? I tell people, you're not running a whole ultra. I mean, some people do, right? But like, you're just hiking with a purpose, and you're like breaking it down, and you're eating like full-on food, maybe some soup, and you're really just, you know, it's gonna hurt, but you're really just kind of out there for a long day, and it's a really good long hike with some running involved.
Doing both the road running and the trail running, like how do you train, or how do you mix the both? Like, do you train for both races at the same time? Do you do one or the other? Like, how do you focus your training for both, doing both? Like, you're constantly doing both.
Well, I feel like what really made me pull the trigger for the 100K is obviously it's a goal, but I really wanted to see how I felt after these road races that I just had. I've been very fortunate to be able to just kind of see how my body's doing, right? I've been able to drop like 40 pounds since the pandemic, and you know, my body is going back to these changes. So I need to make sure that I'm setting myself up, you know, for success, right? I've been very blessed not to have any major injuries ever. But you know, I still deal with chafing, and I still deal with like salt. So it's like things that it's like, duh, you should know this, but actually my body's changing, right? I'm getting older. My body may be dry. My climate is different here in the Central Valley, and I have all my toenails again. So I'm just kind of like, what is my body doing? So I'm happy that I really have been able to see in the last month how my body took two full marathons comfortably. I know where I finish at. And then I reflected, right, on my summer. How did I feel after hiking? I felt pretty good. So I'm happy that I at least had some endurance hikes. And now I have a couple half marathons, and then basically the next 7 weeks till the ultra is getting on the trail, maybe just hiking those portions and really not really focusing on running a lot. I think I'll probably just go up to 20 miles, like a couple 20s on the trail, but really just getting back in the rhythm of hiking. And I go to the gym and I do the Stairmaster, so that's been really helping. But I feel like everything that I kind of plug in, right? So I feel like I'm kind of well-rounded when it comes to hiking, trail running, and road running, falls into place. And I think that's just something beautiful to kind of realize, that you don't have to be just one thing, and you can enter these spaces, you know, if you feel that, as you reflected on how you felt, it's still coming into play for your own goal, so.
What is it that you like about trail running that you can show trail running?
Honestly, it's a long day of therapy. I love nature, and I get something different out of it. You know, road running is fun. You have the crowds, but ultra running just really, I'm with myself so much. And I'm never mad. I one thing for sure is I am never upset about any process of the run. I'm just so happy that my body is allowing me to experience, you know, such distance. Because I only have this one body, and I'm just grateful that I can still do what, you know, is a constant in my life. So.
What would you tell someone who, you know, who wants to run their first ultra 50K? What advice will you tell them that you wish you knew when you were running your first 50K?
I would definitely definitely say that you can do both. Just because you're a road runner doesn't mean, you know, you can't be a trail runner. You can show up just as who you are, right? I feel like trail runners, you know, in the past have been kind of this like ideal looking person. And now that, you know, kind of social media has changed and we're seeing more women and just people of color and just kind of like all just, you know, levels of fitness, you know, just body shapes, just, you know, people who have like are not even maybe ultra running backgrounds, just like the diversity in the trail running community. It's amazing. So have that confidence to know that you just showing up, you're not only showing up for yourself, but you're showing up for all the other people who are also hoping that they see themselves represented. So
yeah, and especially us as like Latinas, yeah. I feel like in women, first woman,
yeah,
needed by males. Like I'm on a mission to change that. That's why I have this podcast. Like I want to get more women out on the trails. I noticed that the longer the distance, woman out there, and I want to change that because I believe, and I strongly believe, that we are designed to be endurance runners. Like we can endure pain. Like if we can push a baby out of us,
yeah,
we can endure pain, right? Like yeah, we are designed to endure a lot of pain. So yeah. Guys might be naturally biologically faster on the short distance, but I feel like we do. I think the endurance long distance is where we can really thrive. And I hope more women get the courage. And like you said, every time we show up, we don't just show up for ourselves, but we show up for everyone who could, like, oh my God, if she can do it, that's someone that looks like me, then yeah, they can put themselves in your shoes.
Yeah, the number of people who look at me like, you run? You run just, you know, and it's just like, it's just, that's the reality of it. Like, well, did you win? I won for myself. Like, it's just that idea that, like, you know, running, I just, diversity running is out there. And it's starting to show. And like, you know, I'm just grateful that I'm part of kind of like pushing it out there, right? But yeah.
We have a comment here saying, yep, it's just you. No one cheering for you on the side. It's you versus you doing an ultra. Yeah, it is. It really is. Like, it's not like a marathon where you have so much energy. Like, there are times where you're so alone that you can literally just go and poop on the trail and then nobody will pass by and then you go back up. All right.
Yeah. And that's what I'm a little nervous about, this 100K, because I was looking at like the number of finishers, and just there was like one woman who finished last year in the distance, and I know that, you know, this race director puts these races really hard and they're really challenging, so it's kind of like I already feel like I kind of won because, you know, I'm like gonna attempt it, but anything, you know, more than what I've done before it's bonus. So just believing and holding on to that and those time cutoffs, right?
Yeah. You know, do the training, trust your training, get out there on the trail. You're highly recommend getting out on the trail, doing hill repeats on, what's it called, Wellburn?
Yeah, I've never been on Wellburn, so that's like
we can park there and just go back down. So I actually, a quick story. I found out about you through Tori. Tori was the one who told me about, like, hey, like, I think you'll totally love her. You should connect. And I met Tori, long story short, but I met her when we were doing Cactus to Clouds on the trails.
Yeah.
And I got really close to Tori, and she actually let me stay in her place so I can train course and like this whole circle kind of. But yeah, it's just really, I mean, yeah, I've been out there a few times. So get trust. You're like you said, trust, believe in yourself,
yeah,
trust, training, show up, give it all you got, and then see what happens.
Yeah.
And lessons learned and the experience, take the experience for what it brings for you.
Yeah. You know, whatever.
Running. So, how did your relationship with Brooks, kind of how did that start, and what was the kind of opportunities that have allowed for you
Do you see this? This is run happy right here. So in 2019, right? I seen an ad on Instagram and I was like, oh, run happy. These people look way too happy. And it was like, join us. And I was like, I wear Brooks. I like Brooks. Why not? So I betted on myself. I applied. And yeah, I got in the first year, 2020. No, wait, 2020, yeah, during the pandemic, right? Or 2021. We're in 2020. So this is my second year. So 2021. And it was virtual. But I was just thrilled. I was just so thrilled for the opportunity to be behind a brand. I'm in my second year this year. And it will end soon. But it's been a very wonderful just opportunity to really be a part of a brand that's really pushing for diversity, especially being from the Central Valley and being like, hey, I'm here representing, you know, I'm not in a big city. I'm not, you know, I'm right in the center of California. So just having that opportunity to showcase my environment, my surroundings, and to like really put my town out there, has been wonderful. To be meeting people in real life or socially through the Run Happy team and kind of like see how that network is. Social media can definitely be a thing of like so much instant happiness, but it could also be like being honest and genuine and just kind of, you know, who you are, authentic of like what the run means for you. And just holding that space. So with Brooks, it's been definitely wonderful. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity. And I tell people this all the time. It's kind of funny because when I was like in my prime running really, really, you know, like almost BQing, there was no opportunities, right? I lived in LA, the market was saturated. It was kind of like this type of runner who was always kind of like getting these wonderful, you know, ambassador opportunities, right? And it just shows that no matter where you are in your running journey, like here I am now, to still just believe in yourself and know that you can be represented. It may not have been the right time. And who knows, you know, sometimes you apply and you don't get the opportunities. But just keep on holding on to that because the right company will invest, you know, and will really just enjoy your energy. So I tell people, I love to share opportunities that I hear, especially on social media, whether it's ambassador programs or, you know, giveaways, because I think everyone should have the opportunity to, you know, connect with something they're passionate about. So.
And I get when they get rejected, huh? Just keep
it hurts. And I totally get it. I've been rejected a lot, right? But I will share this one thing. You have to market yourself. No one is going to market yourself but yourself. Believe in yourself. Be who you are. If you're doing something epic, you share it. You share everything about you. I think that's kind of what we struggle with, where it's like, oh no, I have to be humble. I don't want to, you know, no, you're doing something great. Put it out there. Share your story. We need more people to share their stories, whether they're hiking or they're trail running or, you know, they overcame something. I think that we sometimes think like, oh, they're too full of themselves. It's like, no, what they're doing is incredible. And if no one is going to give them the opportunity to, you know, say, wow, you're inspiring, you're encouraging, then you have to do it yourself. So.
And sharing our story is healing, not just for ourselves, yeah. But the people around us. Yeah. And those people around us realize like, oh my God, like I'm not the only one who struggles with this. Yeah. And then you make connections, and that's the biggest thing. At the end of the day, you want to make connections with other people. Yeah. You have to be human with other people, because nobody's perfect. We all deal with issues in our lives, and it's just like knowing that we can't overcome it because other people have as well.
For all the little girls and all the women our age, and just, you know, the guys out there, it's just, you know, having, you know, we all have our level of like sharing, right? We don't all have to be the same. But when you find what works for you, hold on to it. This whole space that we have is so new, the social media, and also know when to like analyze whether you're having low creative energy or high creative energy. Sometimes it's like overwhelming, but I've learned to take a step back and to really kind of be in the moment. So, okay, does this make sense? Do I align with this? Because it's so important to kind of lose who you are, but also realize maybe you're molding into something else, right? Which could be even more enlightening. So just kind of like ask yourself those questions and check in with yourself.
What would you like to share with those that, you know, they're beginner runners, either road or trail runners, and they want to join a running group, like such as, you know, OutRun, ArtRun, or any running group, but you know, we probably get this a lot. I get this a lot. It's like, oh, I'm too slow. I don't want to slow the group down, or I want to go, but you know, I don't feel like I can keep up, or, you know, ultimately shaming their pace, shaming that they're a beginner. I get this a lot from people, and it's kind of like, what advice would you give to those that, you know, they want to, they're curious about it, but there's that fear, you know, fear of applying for that ambassadorship, joining the running club. What do you want to share with those?
I honestly, like, you have nothing to lose. You really have nothing to lose. And again, like I say, just ask questions. If you don't know anyone who's been in that position or who's ready to join that running group, or maybe you see someone who's running and you want to ask them, how do they get into running? How many times a week? You know, maybe they're on the treadmill. Ask questions. So many people have sent me DMs. So many people, whether it's like about running or ambassador programs, or just like random questions. I think that people who genuinely like respond and kind of are willing to help, you get so much more out of that. Showing up to a running group by yourself is overwhelming. And, you know, I remember looking at photos through Meetup, like, I don't look like these people, or, oh my gosh, these people are running fast, right? One thing that I always tell people is do not apologize. Do not apologize for saying that you're slowing the group down, or you're slowing me down, or you're, you know, just, I know how it is to be a beginner. I know how it is to, you know, be a leader. Like, I kind of have this idea that, like, everyone, it's overwhelming, you know, to show up and not know anyone. But to always kind of make people feel welcome, right? I think that we're able to connect people together and find the similarities, then it kind of, like, eases out the run. And miles are miles. So whatever pace you're going at, we're all there, you know, for the enjoyment of getting miles in. So just have patience.
and those that, you know, never think, people who would care, or people that would mind about your pace, they won't join running groups. People that are very, like, particulate of the pace they have to go, and they can't go slower, or they're in the training plan, they won't join a running group. People that join running groups, it's because they want to socialize and talk to other people. Have fun out there.
Yeah, I always tell people we're at a conversational pace, like, and I just, you know, we're running like 10Ks twice a week, but, you know, now we're getting like some of the, we have a new member who would just see us, you know, he would do his daily walks, and now he's running with us. So it's just like, now, you know, he felt a little, you know, not as confident, and now he's like running and we're like jamming together. So it just needs to be like, I think that sometimes we feel intimidated, but you know, you just gotta try something new, right? And if it's not this group, there's so many groups and there's so many different personalities to jive with, and you can find what you're looking for. So
yeah, just keep checking out the groups, and whatever you vibe with, you keep joining. And if you feel like it's nothing against them, it's nothing against you, you gotta find your tribe. And don't get discouraged. It's dating. You just gotta try a few, you know, try a few apples or kiss a few frogs. However you're saying it. There's a question here. I know we're getting towards the end of our live, but I want to answer. It's from Tina. How many months of trail running would you consider enough for a 50K race? Do you want to answer that, Kendra?
I would probably say if you're coming off of a good, let's say, marathon distance, let's say you ran a marathon distance within the last year, depending on where you live, I would definitely recommend maybe seeing how you feel at least 6 months on trails, whether it's like 6 miles to maybe a long 10-mile run, because you're going to be moving different. And all trail runs are so different in terrain. And, you know, you can be like at Griffith Park and full on running, right? And then you can go to another trail and you're having to hike a lot, right? With a purpose. And then, you know, maybe hop onto like a fire road or, you know, rolling hills. So just kind of having that idea that the surfaces are gonna change. You're going to be climbing. Your pace is definitely going to change. And you'll definitely need a trail shoe that's going to help kind of get you through those movements. You're going to be needing different hydration and water, or, you know, just things that you don't really need as much on the road. But I'd say a good 6 months to really kind of get in the flow.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely depends on your base. If you're beginning first 50K, 6 months, but, you know, if you have some road running, some marathons behind your belt, and it depends your goals too. If you have very specific strategic goals, like you want to hit a certain pace, then you're going to need more time because you want to work on your speed. And the three things that I would just throw it out there that you want to look at is, so you want to train for three things. The first one is mileage. The other thing is time on your feet. So whichever ultra you do sign up, cutoff is, see if you're going to have, because there's 50Ks that you can do it in 12 hours, but there's 50Ks that you can only do it in 8 hours. See, that's a very big, you know, you can walk a lot more when you have 12 hours to do a 50K compared to 8 hours. So that's a very big important thing that you have to look into. And then the third thing is the vert. How much vert does your race have? Because those are three things that you have to look at: the vert, the time on your feet, and the mileage, and then incorporate that into your training. But at least 6 months, depending on the race, depending on your base, but you know, it could fluctuate a little less, a little more, depending where you're at. I think there's another question here in the box. Oh, you actually have a few questions. Oh, a handful of questions. Best time to recover? I didn't see the question box. All right, we're gonna go through these. Okay, Kendra. Best tip for recovery from injury. So just overall recovery, what do you think? You know, it's very
definitely rest. I would say that rest is number one. Kind of get good and back into that level, right? Because of all those anxious nerves that you have like pre and after and during race, I just think that sleep is the best recovery you can get.
100%. Another question here.
The sauna. I go to the sauna a lot, and the sauna has changed my life. So if you can go to your local sauna and just kind of let that do its work, it's been a game changer.
And especially for heat training, if you're doing any heat training, sauna, regardless.
Yeah.
What's your next hiking adventure?
Ooh, so I don't have any hikes planned, but I would say that my goal is to one day do the base camp of Mount Everest. So That is on my list. Clouds to cactus is on my list. And I would like to do Mount Whitney the like another route. So,
well, if you ever want to do cactus to clouds, let me know. I love that route. I'll be happy to join you. Yeah. If you want to come down here, we can do it. I love that. I want to get out there again soon. So. And then we have a fun question from Disco Loco. Would you rather run someone who is too chatty or who doesn't talk? Well, that's a good question.
I don't mind the chatty because sometimes I tell people, if you can't talk, it's okay. If you're talking, that's good because then you're like working on your like pace and you're breathing. So I'd rather be talking and working a little harder, if that makes sense. I'm always open to hearing people. I don't listen to music when I'm running, so I really take in all the sounds. So, you know.
What's your favorite snack on the trail to kind of when you're running? What's your favorite snack?
I like the honey stinger waffles.
I've never tried them, but I've heard great things about them. It's like candy, huh?
Yeah, I'm a waffle. Only waffles when it's like that snack. I don't like real waffles, so.
So Kendra, I know we're towards the end of the show, but any words of encouragement or any final thoughts you would like to share with our community, our women? You know, we want to get them out on the trails. We want to inspire them, empower them, and educate them. So what last words do you have for, you know, anyone who just wants to get on the trails?
You know, a motto that really kind of came out this year with Brooks is like, it's your run. And I think that really resonates, just kind of like as I'm learning about more so the community and kind of the challenges and really reminding myself that I'm in a position to share, you know, my experiences. And if anyone else can relate, then why not, right? It's just so much more powerful and it echoes louder. That just really to remember that whatever your run is for you, no one's ever going to take that away. So if you're going out on a run to, you know, de-stress, if you're going on a run to see another city, if you're going on a run to, you know, hit that PR, whatever it is, it's your run and you just showing up and, you know, putting your all in it. Or just, you know, comfortable doing it. We all have our different levels. So I just hope that you do call yourself a runner because you are a runner and, you know, you're doing incredible things. You don't need to do the level of so much, even just showing up and doing, you know, a 10K or 5K or, you know, whatever it is, you're still showing up and doing your Yeah.
Thank you, Sandra. And if anybody wants, how do they hear more about you? How do they learn more about your runs? If anybody was in Fresno, near Fresno, or anybody go drive through Fresno, how can we get more information about it?
Well, you can definitely, again, like I said, ask all the questions. I'm always happy to share any information that is helpful. So my main Instagram is just Kendra Lopez because I'm just myself. My art run group is Fresno Art Run, and you'll see beautiful murals and art and just kind of visualize what Fresno looks like on the run. But other than that, yeah, I also have a Facebook, but I'd say Instagram is more so where I connect with them, so.
Well, thank you so much, Kendra, for joining me today. And if anybody joined the live late or you missed part of it, I am going to save it on Instagram account. And then later on tonight, it'll be uploaded through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and you can listen to it through your commute tomorrow to work, on your next run. So you have options. If you missed the run or you want to re-listen to the run, to the episode.
Yeah.
We're thinking about running. I just want to say run, but if you want to, if you want to re-listen to the episode, you can check it out through the podcast as well. So, again, this is just Kendra Lopez on Instagram. Make sure you guys follow her, check her out, and you know she's open to answering questions on the DM. So ask her any running questions. And thank you again so much, Kendra, and thank you everyone who joined us tonight. And I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you. Bye.